Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Come on up. Yeah, let's crank this. Is this one on, maybe? Do you guys all know it? Okay. You all know it? Okay, wow, let's do some t-shirts this morning. Okay, so let's check. Okay, I'm gonna take it off the screen. Ready? Okay, can we do the address too? Do you know the address? Philippians 2, 5 through 8. Let this mind be in you, which was also your Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, right. That's awesome. Thank you. Hey, see my friend Aiden in the back after chapel. He'll get you a t-shirt. So, again, super fun to sing that song, super fun to memorize that scripture, but we're hiding God's word in our hearts that we might not sin against him. And even more, that we might know Christ. So, I want to check in on a couple things. For how many of you, the solitude thing, you're like, man, I've got that. I like that, super easy. I can do that. I could do that all day. Kayla, yes, Mossberg, come on, right? I love that. I met my new friend Valerie down in the craft shack the other day. And I think, Valerie, are you one of those solitude people? Yes. So what I would say is, for those of you, anybody, is that a challenge? Like an hour by yourself, silent? Yeah. It is for me, too. And I think what I would say is the discipline of it is a really good thing. It's wherever you're at in that whole thing, it's a good thing. But it's also good to know yourself and to know, hey, maybe I need people around me to help me know Jesus more. And maybe I need solitude to kind of recharge and get with the Lord. So, super glad that you had an opportunity to do that. So we are in the book of Philippians today. We're talking about Paul's testimony. It's not his reputation. It's about knowing Christ. So, in this, we're going to try and figure out what this whole, what are we trusting in? What is it that, if you were to grade yourself on your relationship to Jesus Christ this morning, what would that grade be based on? I told you when I was growing up, this was kind of me. This isn't me, but this is what my... this is what my walk with Jesus felt like. It felt like I had these times, and camp was always one of those times, where I was like, man, this is awesome. I love Jesus. And I did. I did love Jesus. But then I would have these times post-camp, or post-mission trip, or post... winter retreat, where I would go back into the rest of my life and I would be like, oh gosh, this is not what I want it to be. This is not what I was hoping for during when I was on the mountaintop, when I was on this spiritual, emotional experience. And it really felt like that was most of my adolescence, for sure. Most of my junior high, high school experience. I think it was probably not until college and really started to develop some more disciplines and understanding what I needed to have in my life to level out my relationship with the Lord a little bit more. But I'll tell you what the main reason I had these mountaintops and valleys. First of all, is this a common experience, or was this just Andy as a high school student? It's common. This sounds like something maybe you've experienced where you went back after. How many of you have had this type of experience where it was like, oh my goodness, what a great time, and then there was this letdown? Yeah, okay, good. So we're on the same track. So my hope in today's time together is to give you just a little bit of a different perspective. What I would say is I think we will still have these similar experiences. We will still have these times in this week, I hope, to be honest, is one of those, where you feel especially close to the Lord. Now, I'm also going to give you some tools over the next 24 hours to hopefully help level off some of that experience. But you will have these experiences where it's like, wow, man, that was awesome. And then some afterward experiences where it was like, well, this isn't as awesome. And so what do we do with that? Well, I think Paul is really helpful in this way. So we're in chapter 3, verses 1 through 11. Let's read together. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision, who worship the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh. Though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. Circumcised on the eighth day, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to righteousness under the law, blameless. But whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith, that I may know him in the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Let me say a quick prayer. Father, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Apostle Paul. Thank you for even the suffering that he went through, that we might be able to be helped through his letter to the Philippians. Open our ears, our eyes, and our hearts to the words that you have for us. Amen. So, we're going to talk this morning about the attack, the defense, and the conclusion. Again, we're trying to get at what this says, what it means, and then what it means for us. So, Paul is saying to these Philippians, they're experiencing some really significant theological and therefore probably cultural attack from folks that we'll call the Judaizers. We'll call them that because that's what they were called. Seems cool how that works. So the Judaizers were folks that said when Jesus was a Jew, he kept the law, the disciples were Jewish. And then Paul and others start to spread Christianity to people who weren't culturally Jewish. Thank goodness, right? Because that's me. I'm super thankful for that. But what happened was, as this is happening, the early Christians were like, well, gosh, we were all Jewish and we kept the Jewish law. Do all the Christians need to do that? And some folks were like, you better believe they do. And it was actually a pretty heated debate. And Paul and some other people came to Jerusalem and they had this meeting called the Jerusalem Council where they were like, okay, nope, you don't have to keep all of the Jewish law, but you should refrain from eating blood and some other things, like give to the poor, and I know you're already doing that. That was kind of the Jerusalem Council, okay? So the crux of the matter was, no, you don't have to be Jewish to be a follower of Jesus Christ. You don't have to keep the law to be a follower of Jesus Christ. But there were these people that were still saying, oh yeah, you do. You really do. You have to keep the law because that's how we please God. And Paul's like, oh no, you don't. He wrote the book of Galatians, the letter to the church in Galatia, is probably one of Paul's most fiery books. Like, he writes the letters to the church in Corinth, and the church in Corinth is, like, totally jacked up. Like, they have so many problems, but they're sin problems. And Paul says, like, you can't, there's a guy in your church, and he's, like, with his dad's wife, and, like, that's not okay. You know, he's talking to these problems. But the church in Galatia, he's like, you're not even a church. You are, he uses the word anathema over and over again. He is upset. Because he's saying you are preaching a false gospel, another gospel. And that's what the attack is here in the book of Philippians. That these people are coming in and they're saying, you have to do all this other stuff as well. It's Jesus plus. And Paul gets really worked up about Jesus plus anything. So this attack on the church, that's what he says here in verse 2. Look out for the dogs. Like, that's a pejorative, right? he's upset. Look out for the dogs. Look out for the evildoers. Look out for those who mutilate the flesh. For we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God and glory in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. So he's saying this isn't about, like, whether we're following the law, whether we're circumcised like Jews are, or what. This is about our confidence is in Jesus Christ. So he's attacking this works righteousness, right? These folks are way over on the side of legalism. They're saying, hey, if we just follow these rules, that's Christianity. And Paul is like, absolutely not. Paul's defense then is his testimony. So Paul says, hey, if anybody has reason to have confidence in the flesh, it's me. If anybody has followed the law, it's me. And he starts to list his resume, right? And it's a pretty long resume. Verse 4, he says, though I myself have reason for confidence in the flesh also, if anyone else thinks he has reason for confidence in the flesh, I have more. And then he starts, circumcised on the eighth day, just like he was supposed to, of the people of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin. Some people at this point didn't even know what tribe they were from if they were Jewish. Paul knew. A Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee. Pharisees was this group that was like, they were keeping the law really tight. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church, right? He went out and he like got after folks that the Jewish people said weren't okay, the church. As to righteousness under the law, blameless, right? Paul was keeping the law tight. But in verse 7 and 8, he says, all these things that I thought made me acceptable in God's sight, I've counted them all as loss. It's actually trash. He uses the words rubbish, right? Verses 7 and 8, he says, but whatever gain I had, I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For Paul, that's the ultimate. Just so you know, that's the answer to most of the questions this week. Counting things loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus. What are you willing to count as loss for the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus? Is that your ultimate goal in life, is knowing Christ Jesus? Paul's saying, like, hey, your ultimate goal seems to be checking off the boxes so that you can be acceptable. I want my ultimate goal to be to know Christ Jesus. And I'm willing to have you guys think I'm a complete failure, right? Imagine the folks that it was all about rules and Paul is in prison. Their thought of Paul has to be, well, he's certainly not following the rules. He's in prison. But Paul is saying, no, I've counted it all as loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus. Knowing Christ is worth more than anything else. And Paul doesn't just say this. He obviously is living this. Paul has left what was comfortable for him. He had left, you have to imagine the Paul as a Pharisee. He is as cool in his group as possible, right? So imagine the most prestigious person you know. Maybe it's, I don't know who that would be in your world. I have someone in my mind, right? But the top of the heap. And then Paul goes, nope. I'm counting all of that as loss because I want to know Christ Jesus. And then he pursues that. And for Paul, that was leaving all of that behind and going as a missionary to the Gentiles, which is me. I'm super thankful for that, that Paul said, I'll take that charge. And he went and was a missionary to the Gentiles. Paul is willing to go to any length to suffer all things for the sake of knowing Christ. So when you think about that mountaintop, it's super important for you to think about, what is it that you're trusting in? What is Paul trusting in? Is Paul trusting in his list of check marks? Is Paul even trusting in his feelings? Is Paul trusting in his circumstances? Man, Paul's in prison. He's got to feel pretty down. Although he talks about joy. Somehow Paul, in the midst of all of this, is not about what's going on in his everyday. He talks about joy. He talks about the day of Christ that's coming. Paul is not looking just for an emotional high. He left all of that for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus. When Paul thinks about what is this relationship with Jesus about for me? It's about, am I knowing Christ? What is it? What am I wanting to know? He gets to that in verse 9 and 10. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and may share his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, that by any means possible I may attain the resurrection from the dead. So yeah, there's lots of work that Paul has to do, but it's more than just work for Paul. It's about, I want to become like Jesus. And that's more than what I'm feeling. I think this video shows just a little bit of what that's about. Right? Wow. So this is what I would say. If when you're on that mountaintop, it's about you and the liver shiver that you have during the worship singing, you're looking to the wrong thing. In the same way that once you get home, and the liver shiver is gone, and you're wondering what to do, and you're feeling like, here I go again, I've messed this all up again, I've missed my devotions for the third night in a row, you're looking to the wrong thing. We're to look to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Only then can we say, yes, now I want to get to work. Now I want to do my devotions. Now I want to read God's word. Now I want to go to church. Now I want to be with the people. Because Jesus has done these things for me. Regardless of how I feel, regardless of what my circumstances are, now I can get after that. What are you trusting in for your salvation? Are you in abject despair? Or are you in a horrible kind of self-righteousness? Arrogance. Paul says, not having a righteousness of my own that comes from the law, but that which comes through faith in Christ, the righteousness from God that depends on faith. This is good news, right? This is the gospel. If you feel like, I'm not making it, right, that's why you need Jesus. You can't have a righteousness of your own. You need a righteousness that comes through faith in Christ. Or if you're thinking to yourself, I don't know, pretty good. Having a pretty good week. This is going great. Or if you're thinking, actually, compared to this oaf sitting next to me, I'm doing great. No. Compared to Jesus, you're in rough shape. And that's why you need a righteousness that isn't of the law. You need a righteousness that is of faith in Christ. I think that, how do we get there? How do we get to a point where whatever we're doing, whether it's good or bad, it's not about us? I think we have to think about Jesus more. I think that it has to be all about Jesus. Hebrews says, fix your eyes on Jesus. We'll end with this song. This is a song that for me is helpful. It's a song that I hope is my prayer, that when I am in these circumstances that the songwriter talks about, that's where I'm, that Jesus is what I really want. So find a posture of expectancy and listening as we finish with this song.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.